The views and opinions expressed by Professor Porterfield do not necessarily reflect the views of the sponsors or their affiliates.
LMC.
You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
From deep in the heart of Texas, where the stars at night are big and bright, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield. Here to tell it like it was and how it is, to help school you so no one can fool you. Brought to you by the good folks at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in beautiful Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. So now, without further ado, here's Professor Porterfield.
Good evening to you all. I am Professor Charles Porterfield, and hoodoo is my business. Welcome once again to the Now You Know Show, and we are going to have us a time tonight. Tonight, we're going to be revisiting our old friend prayer papers at the requests of some of our listeners. We're going to be talking about licorice. We're going to be having some laughs, listening to some tunes, listening to some news, and of course, there'll be the professor's pontification this night. But before we get into it, I want to take a few moments to talk about what's going on around here. Well, the sun has come out. It is shining bright. We have had 2 days in a row of 90-plus temperatures, and the waters are beginning to recede. This week, I was able to finally have the men come out and tend the ever-growing jungle that my yard had become in the 6 weeks of ongoing rain that we had here in Texas, and I have to tell you, they found guys in there that didn't know WW2 was over. That's how thick and tall that was. So we got that all tidied away, and everything's going great at the homestead. The young people are all happy, getting ready to start college and working new jobs hard, and the grandbabies are running around, and now at, 2.5, no, all but 3 of their letters of the alphabet. I could not be a prouder grandfather. Also, I have to take a moment and say that my good friend Kai Armand just this day put up a Facebook page for his fantastic, amazing, and superlative book, Deliverance, with an exclamation point. And I encourage you all to slide on over there and give it a like. Oh, yes, it will help the book prosper, and you will have done your good deed. And while you're doing that, why not follow the link there over and buy yourself a copy of that great book? You will not regret it. I have barely put it down since I got my greedy little paws on it in California. So take a few moments and do that. Also, I would like to take a few brief moments and say that, well, life is going on and everything's happening as it's happening, but do not fear and do not despair, because, chillin, we are all doing the work as best we can. Lend in your own strength. Put in your own back. Put your shoulder squarely to the wheel and your nose to the grindstone and do your part. And we can change this old world of ours. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you haven't had your head in the news lately. So you need to go on out and find out about what's going on in the world. If you need a little help doing that, tune in to In the Streets with my sister Beverly Smith each and every week on Tuesday, and she'll let you know. Speaking of news, I have just gotten the green light and the thumbs up that we are ready to go over to the LMC Radio Newsroom, where this week our own Wink Winkerson is sitting in. Foggy's not with us this evening. He's off in beautiful Kansas City, Kansas, for a cattle auction. And maybe he'll be bringing some news back to us next week about the price of head of cattle in Kansas City. So until then, we go now over to the LMC Radio Newsroom and Wink Winkerson.
Good evening. Today is Thursday, June 4th, the 155th day of 2015. There are 17 days until summer begins and 210 days left in the year. We are currently 2 days into this month's full moon, which is the full strawberry moon. June's full strawberry moon got its name because the Algonquin tribes knew it as a signal to gather ripening fruit. It was also known as the full rose moon in Europe, where strawberries are not native. Today and tomorrow are auspicious days to begin logging, set posts, or pour concrete. Our highlight in history today comes from June 4th, 1940, during World War II, when the Allied military evacuation of some 338,000 troops from Dunkirk, France, ended. Addressing the British House of Commons, Prime Minister at the time, Winston Churchill, declared,
"We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old."
Also on this date, in 1783, the Montgolfier brothers first publicly demonstrated their hot air balloon, which did not carry any passengers. 1 year later, on this same date in 1784, opera singer Elizabeth Symbol became the first woman to make a non-tethered flight aboard a Montgolfier hot air balloon over Lyon, France. In 1892, the Sierra Club was incorporated in San Francisco, California. In 1619, Congress approved the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, guaranteeing citizens the right to vote regardless of their gender, and sent it to the states for ratification. In 1939, the German ocean liner MS St. Louis, carrying more than 900 Jewish refugees from Germany, was turned away from the Florida coast by U.S. officials. In 1942, the Battle of Midway began during World War II, resulting in a decisive American victory against Japan and marking the turning point of the war in the Pacific. In 1972, a jury in San Jose, California, acquitted radical activist Angela Davies of murder and kidnapping for her alleged connection to a deadly courthouse shooting in Marin County in 1970. Today's birthdays include sex therapist and media personality Dr. Ruth Westheimer, who is 87. Actor Bruce Dern is 79. Musician Roger Ball, 71. Actress-singer Michelle Phillips is also 71. Jazz musician Anthony Braxton, 70. Rock musician Danny Brown of The Fix, 64. Blues singer and musician Tinsley Ellis, 58. Rhythm and blues singers Al B. Shore, 47. Comedian Horatio Sanz, 46. Actor Noah Wyle, 44. Actor-comedian Russell Brand, 40. Actress Angelina Jolie is also 40, as is actor Theo Rossi. Also, we wish to send out birthday greetings to AIR member Michelle Jackson and to commemorate 9 years of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. Our thought for today comes from Polish-born American Nobel Prize-winning author Isaac Bashevis Singer, born 1904, died 1991, who said, "When you betray someone else, you also betray yourself." And in parting news, we also wish to give birthday greetings to AIR member Madam Nadia. Up next, Professor Porterfield and the lucky numbers.
Lucky number.
Oh, I'm dreaming of lucky numbers.
Hoping that those lucky numbers,
yeah,
will show for me.
Numbers gonna show for you and me.
Superstition.
Or even make me suspicious.
Table with 13 dishes.
Issues will make you please. Have and see.
Hey, that's mommy.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Well, okay, then.
Put my trust in goof or dust.
Cause you know someday it may bring you a seven.
Or maybe a lucky 11.
Oh, that you be in heaven.
Lucky number for me.
Yeah!
Oh, yes. But, like the Nicholas Brothers, you need not just put your trust in goof or dust, because we have got the lucky numbers for you tonight. That's right. This week's lucky numbers come, as they do each week, from ProfessorPorterfield.com. Why not slide on over and check that out? And they are 26, 38, 39, 43, 47, and 56. Those numbers once again are 26, 38, 39, 43, 47, and 56. This week's lucky three-digit numbers are 119, that's 119, 712, that's 712, and 843, that's 843. If you hit, remember where you get. And now we move on to the card of the week. This week's card is the Queen of Diamonds. That's right, gang. This week, from Thursday to Thursday, we'll be ruled over by the Queen of Diamonds, the mistress, a sensual, sexual woman, also a woman of very fair complexion. This week brings amorous, sexual, and sensual feelings. A good week for love affairs, illicit meetings and gatherings, as well as sensual times. Be careful not to let debauchery lead to destruction, harm, or incarceration. Remember, our week runs Thursday to Thursday, so check in with the Now You Know show to get the numbers and cards when they first come out. Till then, good luck to you all. Up next, the professor's pontification. Oh, it's going to be a hot one. You know, if you want, you can just sit back and you can have some whiskey with your water. You can have a little sugar in your tea. That is, unless your mama told you not to come.
Whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea. What's all these crazy questions you asking me? This has got to be the craziest party it could ever be. Don't turn on the light, I don't want to see. Mama told me not to come. She told me not to come. That ain't no way to have fun, baby. Open up this window, let some fresh air into this room. I think I'm getting choked off the smell of stale perfume. And that cigarette you smoking is about to scare me to death. Open up this window, let me catch my breath. Mama told me not to come. She told me not to come. That ain't no way to have fun, knocking at the door. I'm looking around at my girl and she's passed out on the floor. I see things here that I ain't never seen before. All I know is I don't want to see them no more. Mama told me not to come.
Tonight, and I'm afraid our first name it and claim it has gone with a winner. That was not Three Dog Night. No, I pulled one on you. That was the late, great, immortal Wilson Pickett with Mama Told Me. Oh, yes. And now, let us let that lead us right into this week's Professor's Pontification. This week's Professor's Pontification is... How I Got My Birthday Cake Vibrator, or It Turns Out My Alleged Love Drawing Oil Worked After All. How's that for a title to grab you by the nape of the neck? There has been some talk going around for quite some time that I want to address. And it takes a kind of generalized form that goes something like this. Hoodoo don't have no curio, says one source. Hoodoo, real hoodoo, doesn't have any disclaimer, says another source. There ain't no alleged in conjure, says a third source. And what this is generally summed up as, this foolishness, because that's what the fuck it is, foolishness, is summed up by this. Real hoodoo, genuine hoodoo, the genuine article as it were, doesn't have no disclaimer on it. Nothing's called a curio, nothing's called alleged, nothing says for entertainment purposes only, nothing says as a curiosity only. There is no disclaimer on real hoodoo. Well, now you just know that I'm not going to let that go by. Here's the problem with that statement. The problem with that statement is that each and every single motherfucking, that's motherfucking for you, idiot who says this either doesn't know their history or doesn't know the law. In specific, they know nothing about the postal fraud laws in this country. So what happens is these people who don't know their history, who don't know the law, and don't know enough of that to fill a thimble, setting up and getting ready to make a big name for themselves, and the only way they can make a name for themselves is to knock a whole bunch of other people down, get up in public like the asses they are and say this foolishness. Now let me inform you of a few little facts. And I'm going to go away from hoodoo for just a moment into a more general area. The year I was born, don't bother asking when, happened to be the year that the British witchcraft laws were finally taken off the books in whole. There were no more British witchcraft laws. Now, I am not all that old. I ain't 100 years old, kids. I'm not 120 years old. Hell, I ain't even 80. Hell, I'm not even 70. I haven't even seen 60 yet. And let me tell you once again that the year I was born was the year that the last of all of the British witchcraft laws were taken from the books. Let me explain to you that these laws were not similar laws we have in America that are laws that are called nuisance laws. In other words, they're laws that are on the book, but ain't nobody upholding them. Nobody is enforcing those laws. You know, you can't kiss your wife on a Saturday in Utah. Nobody's enforcing that fucking law. Okay? Nobody. And if any cop ever wanted to stop you and cite you, give you a ticket, handcuff you, take you to jail, there's not a DA alive who would stand up in front of a judge, or God forbid, a judge and a jury, and try to prosecute you for kissing your wife on a Saturday. That's not what I'm talking about. These laws in England were enforced. You know, I mean, you would be practicing witchcraft, whatever you want to call that, and all of a sudden, right, what's going on here then? Everybody up against the wall. Right, put your kit back on. We're all going to jail. And they take you out, and they pull you in the paddy wagon, and they take you down, and they put you in jail. Okay, they put you in jail. You might only be there for a night. They might have only given you a little charge. It might have just been, you know, the equivalent of a meaningless misdemeanor here in America, but they enforce these laws. Why
afternoon, Professor. I'm bringing this up because those laws were gotten rid of in our lifetimes, within memory. There are still laws against the practice of fortune telling. Now, you can roll your eyes and you can say, oh, now, come on, Professor, they ain't really laws against fortune telling. Well, go try it. You know, go over there and see if you can, do that in certain parts of Pennsylvania or other places where such laws still appear on the books. They will arrest you. They will fine you. They will take you to jail. You will go before a court. The DA will stand up and prosecute you. Why? Well, there are a number of reasons. The first is, obviously, and of course, there are certain people who use a divinatory practice to engage in chicanery and fraud. But also, we have laws in this country, like we used to have in Texas, called blue laws. They relate to a moral standing, meaning we, although there is no official religion, believe that it is immoral for you to do this practice, like to buy light bulbs on Sunday, and so we're going to enforce that. Now, those laws aren't in effect anymore in Texas, but they were when I was a child. So, how do you read cards for people? How do you cast bones for people? How do you use a pendulum for people to tell their fortunes, all right, and not end up in the pokey? Well, you have to find around it. You have to say, I am not reading fortunes. I am not saying that I have the power to foretell the future or foresee the past or any of that. You have to say, I'm doing this for what? Entertainment purposes only. I'm just entertaining people. Now, you do that so that you don't go to jail and you can still help people as well as earning your living. And around that time is when some wag jumps out from behind a wood pile and says, aha! You see, it's a sham! It's all a sham! It's for entertainment purposes only! They're just making it up! They're going on, you could hire a clown from a kiddie's birthday party to tell you the future just as well. I always knew it was a sham! And this is what we call the old double bind. Okay? This means that they are basically setting you up. They are putting you in a place where you can't say what you do as what you do. Because if you do, they'll put you in jail. So if, to not go to jail, you say, all right, I'll adhere to this law and say this instead, so at least I can still keep my practice open. They go, aha! We knew you were a fake! Well, what's that got to do with hoodoo? Well, what's that got to do with hoodoo is, way back in the day, and I'm not talking about the 1800s, children. I'm talking about the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, 1950s. There were laws, and there are some still, on the books involving postal fraud. Now, this meant that if I told you I have a love drawing oil, if you use it, it will help to draw love to you. The postal inspector could come in and say, ha, ha, well, that's a bunch of hooey. A bunch of supernatural mumbo jumbo, and you're going to jail, my friend. And that jail time was serious. Serious fines. Serious jail time. Now, I'm not talking about 10 to 20, but I'm talking about you would get 5 years. I'm talking about you would get slapped with $1,500, $5,000. And that's a lot of money. So, to be able to keep the practice open, and continued to be able to sell people materials that they needed and wanted and were buying in earnest, what did you do? You put the word alleged in front of love oil. Alleged love drawing oil. Alleged money attraction powder. All right? And what happened? Same thing has happened before. The law says you can't name something what it is, or I'll put you in jail because I don't believe in that shit and I got all the fucking power. I'm the man. And the minute you do what you got to do to survive, then the other man jumps in and says, I always knew you were a fraud. You see, it's all a fraud. Well, that's a double bind. What were some other ways to get around this? You would say, as a curiosity only. These roots are a curiosity only. Now, somebody else, a bush doctor, could have told you exactly what those roots do. A conjure doctor, a hoodoo practitioner, a root doctor could have told you exactly what those roots did. Not only medicinally, but also magically. Well, you can't say what they do medicinally because you're not a doctor. Therefore, you'd be practicing medicine without a license and off. Treat people, and off to the clink you go again. This would be the part where there'd be the adjusting of top hats and the twirling of mustaches as young, helpless, and innocent Penelope is tied to the railroad tracks. So people said, as a curiosity only. Therefore, the object became a curio. Something you keep. It's a curiosity. It goes into curiosity cabinet. It's a curio. That's where the word originates. A curio. So now we've covered alleged, now we've covered entertainment purposes only, and now we've covered curio. But let's take it all the way back to the beginning, where we started on this pontification. Where we had a whole bunch of people coming out of the woodpile to say, real hoodoo don't have none of that. Well, no, real hoodoo does have that. Real hoodoo had that for the same reason that hoodoo exists, to survive under the gaze, the hand, and the oppression and the power of the man. That's what it's all about, kids. See, let me put it to you this way. If somebody said to you, I can prove to you that that fellow over there, let's say the year is 1960. Let's say the year is 1955. And in the year 1955, 1960, some asshole says to you, I can prove to you that that fellow over there is not a real conjure doctor, not a real hoodoo doctor, not a real root worker. Because when he was walking down the street and a white man passed him, he gave him the street. He took the wall. Some of you may not know that phrase. What that means is that he moved out of the way of the white man so that he was closer to the wall so the white man could pass by in an unobstructed manner and have access to the street. That's the equivalent. You wouldn't stand for that. You wouldn't stand for it. If somebody told you that there is a 86-year-old hoodoo root doctor, and because in the day he tipped his hat even though he didn't want to, because he didn't sock a man in the mouth every time he got called boy, that meant he had no real power, you would side-eye that son of a bitch so fast it would make his head spin. But that's exactly what they're doing here. When they say, real hoodoo doesn't have no curio. Real hoodoo doesn't have no alleged. Real hoodoo doesn't have no disclaimer. Motherfucker, the goddamn medicine I get from my fucking doctor has disclaimers on it. Son of a bitch, The car dealer deals in disclaimers. Now you can be all puffed up and proud and smug right about now and go, and that's because they're cheats. That's because they're liars. That's because they're flim-flam men. But you're just going to keep beating your drug no matter what fucking example we come up with. No matter what the truth is, you're just going to stand by your bullshit. When you say that hoodoo has no disclaimer, you have no knowledge of hoodoo, no knowledge of its history, and no knowledge of the law. And I'm calling you out right here, right now. You can come at me. Go ahead. Post all up on Facebook, since Facebook seems to matter to y'all. But I'm telling you, it had disclaimer. It had, for entertainment purposes only, it had as a curio only, it had alleged because it was necessary to survive. Now, some of you, in fact, our own dear troll Towelhead, about this time are saying, but what the hell does that have to do with a birthday cake vibrator? I'll tell you what it has to do with a birthday cake vibrator. And this is what I'm going to seal the deal with. Until very recently, in the state of Texas, we had wide sweeping laws, obscenity laws, that covered the sale of sex toys. Now, until recently, very, very recently, I'm talking about since, you know, my sons were born. I'm talking about in the past 5-6 years even, man, okay? Until very recently, these laws stood on the books. And what these laws said was that you, being an enterprising adult individual, could not open a shop in an appropriately zoned area, not across the street from a church, not down the street from the schoolyard, but in an appropriate place, and openly sell sex toys. They were obscene. And they would come, and they would not only take you to jail and fine you, but they would also seize all of your merchandise. I'm not playing around. They would seize your merchandise. They would come in, and they would take all the vibrators and all the dildos and all the jackrabbits and all the little cute blue dolphins, because you see the dolphin's nose goes here when you turn it on. They'd take all that, and they'd throw it into a big box, and they'd cart it away, and that became the property of the state. These were honest entrepreneurs, not harming anyone, selling real materials. These vibrators worked. You put a battery in them, turn them on, they worked. No one could say that wasn't a real vibrator. No one could say that wasn't a real dildo. But the way that these enterprising entrepreneurs got around that law is they simply would not sell their devices as what they were. They would not sell them as a dildo, a vibrator, a sex toy. They would put labels on them that said, for entertainment purposes only, as a curio. And the most famous one that a lot of them did, they would sell them as, quote, let me say that again, they would sell them as cake toppers. You know, it's just a little thing you put on top of a birthday cake, you put on top of an anniversary cake, you put on top of a cake there, and it's a charming little thing. It's a decorative thing to go in onto a birthday cake. Because obviously, if you were going to make a birthday cake for your 65-year-old mama, you would want to bring that in with candles on it, and in the middle of that, a neon blue jackrabbit with beads attached vibrator. But every goddamn person of any sense whatsoever would have looked at you like you were pig ignorant if you had stood up on your 2 feet in public and said of the sellers of those sex toys, real vibrators don't have no disclaimer. Real vibrators don't ever get called cake toppers. Real dildos don't say for entertainment purposes only, although what other purposes you're going to be using them for are kind of beyond me. I don't really know. I suppose you can write in. You can write in to ProfessorPorterfield@gmail.com and let me know. But the point is, you would have sounded just like a goddamn idiot. And it's a clear and apparent situation. No one would have listened to you. You would have been ridiculous. But people stand up with no knowledge of hoodoo, no knowledge of hoodoo's history, and no knowledge of how the law of the man has interacted with hoodoo, and say, real hoodoo doesn't have a disclaimer. Well, you just keep doing that. And someday when the law goes back the way it was and you end up in jail, I'll send you a cake.
With a cake topper on it.
That's the point, folks. It's easy to say whatever you want. Why are they saying it? Well, I would like to believe that it's why I've said that they're just silly. That they just have no knowledge of hoodoo or the history of hoodoo or the history of the interaction of the law in the United States of America with hoodoo. That's what I'd like to say. That's what I hope. Not that I hope that people are ignorant, but it's better than what I suspect. What do I suspect? I suspect that they know damn well the history. I suspect they know damn well that there's postal fraud, that there are laws against fortune-telling, that there have been laws against that, and there may be laws again, and they come and they go, based on the attitudes of the general society in power, which fears hoodoo. You don't believe that? Why don't you go back and look at the old poisoning laws? I'm serious. Go back to the time, just near the end of slavery, right after the emancipation, and during, right before the migration, and look at the poisoning laws. And you're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn that poisoning is a terrible crime if it's committed by someone who's black against someone who's white. You're going to learn that there's a suggestion in those laws that lawyers and district attorneys used in court to prosecute people who were killed, who were hung, that suggests that if a black person does magic against a white person, they're actually engaging in a form of poisoning. If that person grew sick, they're poisoning. And just like the Romans understood, the thing you must not allow is for slaves to poison their masters. So the interaction of white law with hoodoo in the United States is deeply entangled and mired with all of the oppression and all of the racism that existed in our society and still exists in our society. But I digress. My suspicion is that people who say these foolish things publicly, openly, say them for only one reason. They want to beat somebody else down and hold themselves up. They want to say that because, see, it's a really, really, really cute little fucking dodge. I mean, it's adorable. It's just look how cute their shit is. And here's how it works. The law is no longer on the books. Since the law is no longer on the books, I can make my hoodoo products, and I can call them anything I goddamn want. Come get a good fucking tonight, darling, oil. Whatever the fuck I want. I can just put it out there and sell it. I can write on the back, use this oil and you'll have a hot time tonight. Use this oil and you'll get money. Use this oil, whatever. And because the laws are different now, I can put it through the mail. I can send it by UPS. I can send it by FedEx, whatever, and have my little Etsy shop. I can sell it on fucking wherever. And I can get away with it. Nobody's going to come and slap cuffs on me. So I'm protected. So So that gives me this golden opportunity to take a poke at anybody who's still using the old.
Well, if the laws have changed, why would you still use the old form?
What?
Well, if the laws have changed, why wouldn't you change the names of your product? Why wouldn't you take a ledge off of your love oil?
Well, can I buy drugs from you? I mean, are you from this world? Because things become something. Because tradition isn't all in the hands of somebody sitting in some locked up ivory goddamn fuck tower making clinical choices as they go. Tradition happens as part of an ongoing experience, you jackass! So eventually what happens is that it just becomes alleged love drawing oil. That becomes its goddamn name. Why is Essence of Bendover still called Essence of Bendover? Where was the Bendover that we extracted the essence from? Why does it still use the picture that it does? Why do people still use it the way they do? Because it's part of tradition. So the alleged oil, alleged love drawing oil, remains alleged. Because the old ad used to say it's a curio, so we keep saying it, curio. It's a part of who we are. It's part of what we've become. Because people know that. It's tradition. And tradition is an ongoing experience. Maybe in 50 years, maybe in 60 years, it'll all have disappeared because we don't need it anymore. Maybe the laws will come back and you'll start calling your get a hot fucking tonight oil alleged. Get a hot fucking oil tonight because you want to keep selling it. You don't want to go to fucking jail. See, this is a game. And that's all it is. I don't have to suffer under the consequence anymore. So now I'm going to take a poke at the people who still make the product the way they used to make the product when they were under the oppressive schema, when they were under the oppressive law. It's cute. Makes me seem real big. And even worse still, I'm going to pretend that that one word, curio, alleged, or any kind of disclaimer, is the difference between legitimacy and illegitimacy. I'm going to puff myself up. So that's been our lesson tonight on birthday cake vibrators and alleged love drawing oil. At the end of the day, you got to watch out for people that are just taking a swing at every people. Now, right about now, you might say, but Professor Porfield, aren't you taking a swing at people? Well, in a general sort of way. All I'm trying to do is spread a little truth. All I'm trying to do is point out a little history. All I'm trying to do is set the record straight. See, you can do whatever you want, even to your own harm, and no one's there to stop you. Hell, if you want, you can go walk right out and stand without a hat in the noonday sun, just like a mad dog or an Englishman.
Tropical climes are certain times of day when all the citizens retire to take their clothes off and perspire. It's one of those rules the greatest fools obey, because the sun is far too sultry and one must avoid its ultraviolet ray. The natives grieve when the white men leave their huts, because they're obviously, definitely nuts. Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. The Japanese don't care to, the Chinese wouldn't dare to. Hindus and Argentines sleep firmly from 12 to 1. But Englishmen detest us, yes sir. In the Philippines they have lovely screens to protect you from the glare. In the Malay states there are hats like plates which the Britishers won't wear. At 12 noon the natives swoon and no further work is done. But mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. Such a surprise for the eastern eyes to see. But though the English are effete, they're quite impervious to heat. When the white man rides, every native hides in glee. Because the simple creatures hope he will impale his soul a topi on a tree. It seems such a shame when the English claim the earth, that they give rise to such hilarity and mirth. Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. The toughest Burmese bandit can never understand it. In Rangoon, the heat of noon is just what the natives shun. They put the Scotch or rye down and lie down. In a jungle town where the sun beats down to the rage of man and beast, English garb of the English Saab merely gets a bit more creased. In Bangkok, at 12 o'clock, they foam at the mouth and run. But mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. The smallest Malay rabbit deplores this foolish habit. In Hong Kong, they strike a gong and fire off a noonday gun to reprimand each inmate who's in late. In the mangrove swamps where the python romps, there is peace from 12 to 2. Even caribous lie around and snooze, for there's nothing else to do. In Bengal, to move at all is seldom, if ever, done. But mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday, 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 out in the midday sun.
That was, of course, Noel Coward with Mad Dogs and Englishmen. You know, he was just trying to make a kind of little point about how the English acted when they went into all of these other regions as the supposed rulers and supposed leaders. He was just trying to poke a little fun. He was just trying to, send out a signal.
What's that signal? Why, that's the LMC Radio Network on the air! The LMC Radio Network, broadcasting around the globe, bringing news, information, education, and entertainment to all. It's the LMC Radio Network in the Vanguard.
You are listening to the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. The longest-running conjure show in the universe, it may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time, Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa. This is the meeting place for all esoteric traditions. Candelo brings his insight as a Polero and eclectic spiritualist to his interviews with peers in Afro-Caribbean lineages, as well as representatives of numerous other spiritualities and religions. You can hear Candela's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. Tuesdays feature two wonderful shows to suit your taste. On the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance and tips on the practical use of crystals and crystal balls. His show starts at 5 p.m. Pacific Time and lasts for 1 hour. Next is In the Streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly provides up-to-the-minute reports on civil and social rights issues. Her one-hour show airs on Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. On Wednesday nights, come out and join Liquid Libations. Andrea Weston hosts this informal sharing and showcasing of poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances, contributed by novices and professional wordsmiths. Call in and read your work. Liquid Libations may be heard on Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern, tax and license may apply, train departure times and Burma shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Thank you, Troll Towelhead, our own chief engineer here at the LMC Radio Network, for our weekly schedule. Up next, a little part of the show I like to call
Secrets of Scriptural Sorcery.
This week on the Secrets of Scriptural Sorcery, we're going to be revisiting a topic that we have done before, and it's been requested by a number of people this last week that we do so. So, we're going to be talking once again a little bit about prayer papers. And prayer papers. And I am here to tell you that they are indeed potent and powerful. Not at all a paper tiger. Sue Thompson with Paper Tiger. And it leads us into this week's Secrets of Scriptural Sorcery. Each and every week, our segment, The Secrets of Scriptural Sorcery, comes to us not only from our non-knowledge, but also from the book Hoodoo Bible Magic, The Sacred Secrets of Scriptural Sorcery, by Miss McHale and myself. And we always like to take a moment to thank her for its inclusion in the show. Prayer papers. Before I get into prayer papers, let me take a moment to encourage each and every one of you to go out and find a copy of the brand new book, Paper in My Shoe, Name Papers, Petition Papers, and Prayer Papers in the Hoodoo Root Work Tradition by our good friend Catherine Ironwood. Because in that book, as well as in the Hoodoo Bible Magic Book, you are going to learn a very good deal about prayer papers, as well as other forms of petitions and papers used in Hoodoo. But we want to talk tonight more specifically about prayer papers. Let me start off by saying the reason we're revisiting this topic is I've got a number of communications this week via email and Facebook chat and Skype and this, that, and the other thing, notes tied to squirrels that found their way eventually to my home, asking for a little bit more to be said about this and bringing up a old bugaboo that I thought we had finally put down, but it seems like it wasn't put down. So let me once again dig out my shovel to try to bury this issue forever. If someone tells you in Hoodoo, in Rootwork, in Conjure, to take a Bible, to tear a page out of that Bible so that you have a specific prayer in the Bible, a specific piece of scripture, whether it be a psalm or something else, and to burn it up so that you can get Bible ashes, or prayer paper ashes, or prayer ashes, or the ashes of Psalm 91, that person's a damn fool. There may be a number of times when, under the direst of circumstances, such an action might take place. But I have a lot of trouble imagining what they would be. And I am not speaking here of the use or practice in certain other ATRs or other practices throughout the world where you burn an entire Bible up for various purposes. I'm talking about you rip a page out of the Bible and you burn it up to use whatever's been on that page for your own benefit. And there's a serious problem there. And the problem there is, well, what have you done to that Bible? And the second problem you have there is in the logic of what you're suggesting. You're suggesting that the Bible is a potent talisman, that it has inherent magical power in and of itself, and so you're going to deface it. You're going to take part of its power and use it. Except now, what's happened to the rest of the talisman? What's happened to the rest of the power inherent in that Bible? Well, you've taken a page away from it. And what was on the back of that page? What if page you're burning up has something beautiful that you want to use on the front, terrible on the back, a curse? It's just foolishness. So really, don't tear pages out of the Bible and burn them up. I don't give a fuck how cheap Bibles are. Hopefully, that has set that down forever, and we can now put the earth on it in the hole and say a quick prayer over it. May the Lord bless and keep it far away from us forever, and move on with our lives. But people have also asked me a bit about prayer papers. They've said, what's the proper way to make a prayer paper? What's the ins and outs of it? Well, that's not really for me to say. That would be establishing some sort of law, which doesn't exist. It would be me establishing perhaps some sort of personal gnosis, which isn't a part of Hoodoo or Conjure. I can tell you this, that traditionally, for days and weeks and months and years and decades and generations, people have sat down by themselves in a small, quiet space, or perhaps even in a noisy space if need be, and taken a sheet of paper, whatever paper they may have even had on hand. It could have been lined paper, it could have been plain paper, it could have been vellum, it could have been paper bag, could have been almost anything. Could have been the back of a playing card, boys and girls. And that they have, with due diligence, lifted up their pens and their pencils, whether they be ink pens or quill pens or ballpoint pens or felt tip pens, and written out sections of Scripture. They've written out parts of Genesis, Exodus. They've written out parts of the New Testament from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Revelations. And certainly they have written out the Psalms And certainly they have written out sections and sometimes the whole of the Song of Solomon. And that having written this out with prayerful action, with faith, with concentration, they have then used that paper for a variety of purposes. It can be wrapped around roots and tied to them or moistened so that it stays. They have been folded up carefully in a variety of manners and added into mojo bags and conjure hands. They have been burnt to ashes and those ashes used to attract, repel, dispel, bring towards, and every other kind of action you can think of. So it seems like what I just said to you was sort of open-ended, do-as-you-please thing. And that's not my intention. My intention is to give you some practical good advice, and all I can give you in this matter is from myself. It is my belief that, now listen carefully, it is my belief that such things have more potency when they are written out by hand, when they are written out by you, when they are written out with intention, when they are written out with diligence and care, and when they are written out in a prayerful manner. That doesn't mean that you can't write them out quickly in need. That need is the same diligence. That need is the same prayerful request. That they need not be written out just on paper. They can be written out on plates with wine, with fruit juice, with food coloring, and that those plates could be washed, and the water that they were washed used, or that they could be written out in a way so that they could be added to food, or that the paper itself could be boiled and added to a spiritual bath. But I believe for myself that these things have more potency when they are hand copied out, when they are written from the heart. Surely in the modern era you can take a photocopier and photocopy them out, and I can't speak to that efficiency. I don't know, because I don't do that. Am I telling you not to? No, I'm not telling you not to. I believe that perhaps if you were to photocopy them out and then you were to carefully cut that section out that you needed and you were to use it again in a diligent and prayerful manner, that perhaps it would still be efficient for you. I'm not here to act as the sole answer man. I'm not here to necessarily even teach you. I am a professor. I am here to profess and to guide you. I'm here to offer a lamp, a light that shows you, oh, here's a path and I can go up the mountain that way. But that's not to say that your way up the mountain is necessarily wrong.
But now, wait a minute. You just said that tearing pages in Boryingham is wrong.
I did say that, and I'm going to stand by that. Because there's a difference between me giving you an advisement in a general working, like the making of prayer papers, and me saying that there is a shockingly wrong action that can be taken. If you want to do certain things, I can say that's not what you're getting. If you sat down next to me and you said, Professor, I want to make cheese enchiladas and I want to make them very, very Tex-Mex, the way you get them right there in San Antonio, in Houston, in, you know, Abilene, in Dallas, in Fort Worth, in Nacogdoches. I want to make me some cheese enchiladas. And I said, okay, well, show me how you're going to make these cheese enchiladas. And you hauled out Szechuan sauce. I would say, wrong, stop, you've got a problem here. Szechuan sauce doesn't go in it. And you could turn around and say, yeah, but you said I could do, you know, within my own kind of thing. Yeah, sure, do your own kind of thing within the framework, within the understanding of what it is to do hoodoo, conjure, and root work. Inside that framework, work and build on the foundation. Work and build with what has come up before. Don't just go out here into the field and think you can do it and still call it that. You can't. You can't put Szechuan sauce into cheese enchiladas and say, this is cheese enchiladas just as served in San Antonio. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. And if you want to tell me that burning pages out of the Bible willy-nilly is part of the framework of hoodoo, well, I'm ready to fight you on that. I'm ready to stand up and debate you. I'm ready to call you out. And that's the difference. But these sections of Scripture can be written out on paper. Should they be written out on a single sheet? Of course they can be written out on a single sheet. Should they be written out on a long, thin strip? Yes, of course they can be written out on a long, thin strip. There's a tradition of that. That long, thin strip can then be wrapped, sort of like you find in a fortune cookie, but longer. It could then be wrapped around a candle that you're doing work with. It could be pinned to the candle. It could be placed under the candle. It could be wrapped all the way around a root, like a John the Conqueror root, let's say, or any a Queen Elizabeth root, or a piece of licorice or lovage that you're using. Can it be written out on the front and the back? Of course. Can it be written on a dollar bill? Of course. Can it be written on a paper playing card? Of course. So the point is, find the Scripture that you wish to use, or whatever part it is, from any of the books, New and Old Testament, the Psalms, what have you. Carefully write it out, again, in a diligent and prayerful manner, and then take up your prayer paper and go and use it. Whether you are burning it, whether you are wrapping it, whether you are secreting it, hiding it someplace, whether you're eating it, whether you're doing whatever you're going to do with it. And I encourage you, go and read Paper in My Shoe by Miss Catherine Ironwood and read Hoodoo Bible Magic. It will give you a taste of what you can do. Up next, we're going to go into the kitchen. And this week, we're going to be talking about our friend licorice. But before, speaking of licorice, and speaking of Foggy being in our own Patchy Fog, being in Kansas City, we have our final Name It and Claim It of the week. And baby, it's a showstopper. A real stumper. Let's see if anyone can get it. But who was it? Well, the old professor kind of pulled one on you. That was Licorice John Death. Who the hell is Licorice John Death? Well, very little known fact, boys and girls. Way back in 1970, the band Procol Harum, and it's Harum, not Harum, Procol Harum released an album called Ain't Nothing to Get Excited About, in which they did a number of blues classics, including Lucille, Kansas City, and a few old Black Joe, and a few others. But their record company didn't want them to do it, so they didn't do it under the name Procol Harum. They renamed themselves for one album as Licorice John Death. And now, you know. Let's go slide on over into the kitchen for a while. Come on in. Have a seat. Sit down. How you doing? You look good. Tonight we're going to talk about licorice. Now, licorice is a root from which a sweet flavor can be extracted. And the licorice plant is a legume native to southern Europe, India, and parts of Asia. However, it is not botanically related to anise, star anise, or fennel, which are sources of similar flavoring compounds. And the word licorice is derived from the Old French, out of a Greek word meaning sweet root. And it's been traditionally known and used in medicine for centuries upon centuries. In fact, it is used in traditional Chinese medicine, where it is believed to harmonize the ingredients in a formula and carry the formula to the 12 regular meridians. Licorice is used in medicine, food, and candy, and also as a flavoring agent for tobacco. But tonight, we're going to be talking about it in hoodoo. Now, licorice root is alleged to grant the bearer control over a person or situation. And because of this, licorice root is an ingredient in formulas intended for controlling others, including commanding oil and, oh yes, the one we talked about earlier tonight, essence of bendover oil. But how can you use it? Well, to dress a room for commanding people there, you would mix licorice root with commanding powder and sprinkle it in the four corners and center, thus making a five spot, of the room where you will meet someone that you wish to control. You can also use licorice in a love-controlling mojo. To get the upper hand in a love affair, add licorice root to any love-drawing mojo. If you have any of the personal concerns of your lover, wrap them up with the licorice and dress the packet with controlling oil before putting it into the love bag. And you can also use it for a domination incense. Oh yes, that's right. Simply add licorice root chips to commercial incense such as controlling, compelling, or commanding. I have also had good effect myself by adding it to Jezebel to make them stronger, and burn the licorice on charcoal while you perform a domination candle spell or other domination spell work. So there's a little bit about licorice. A lot of us have it in our kitchens as a seasoner, as a flavoring agent. Some people do not care for the flavor of it. Other people adore the flavor of it. But remember that you can use it for that control aspect. You could also put it into cookies and into other similar dishes that you're going to feed that unsuspecting person who you want to have that control, as it were, over. And if you would like to know more about such things as that, well, then I would encourage you to go and go out into that big wide world and look for Hoodoo Food, the Conjure Cook-Off and Rootwork Recipe Roundup. That's right, which has many, many, many everyday average food recipes with a Hoodoo and Conjure component. It's an excellent source of those old sneaky tricks. As always, our section from In the Kitchen comes to us from our own knowledge and from Hoodoo Herb and Root Magic, a Materia Magica of African American Conjure by Miss Catherine Ironwood. And we thank her, our dear friend, for its inclusion, allowance of its inclusion in the show each and every week. Before we have to say goodbye, though, we have a little surprise here in the studio. He was on the show once, not too long ago, and we were able to get him to come back in. We're grateful that he... And I'm a huge fan of this man and just a wonderful part of my childhood on the old KTVA television station here locally. And so I send you now across the way to the booth and the great former host of Monster Chiller Theater, the one, the only, Count Gulas.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it is I, Count Gulash. Oh, yes, and I'm here to talk to you once again about the Lucky Mojo Curio Company of Forestville, California. Oh, yes, boys and girls, way up in Northern California, amongst the spooky fogs and the giant trees. Oh, who knows when they might pull themselves up and attack the world. Yes, the Lucky Mojo Curio Company is both an online magical shop and a real magic store that you can visit. They carry a full line of handmade spiritual supplies, including occult oils, incense, powders, candles, herbs, mojo bags, spiritual soaps, books, and spell kits for those who cast magic spells, love spells, money spells, and protection spells in the African American hoodoo, pagan magic, and other witchcraft traditions. Oh, yes, it's frightening. I'm talking about the Lucky Mojo Curio Company of 6632 Covey Road, Forestville, California. Why not go there? Take an adventure and actually go there and see the magical train set with all the tiny people. Were they always tiny? No one knows. Or the tiny little elephants, yes, secreted in the back, waiting for their moment. Oh! Or you could step on over to the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, the world's smallest church, and take a few moments of prayer and quiet meditative reflection there, and then walk on into the store where you will see aisles and shelves after shelves of real magical products. But wait a moment. You might be saying, Count Gulash, I can't get there in person. It's no problem. You can go there on the World Wide Web. Yes, the World Wide Web. All you have to do is go over to www.luckymojo.com and you can spend hours quietly going over the pages of all the fabulous goods
they carry. So once again, it's the Lucky Mojo Curio Company of Forestville, California. Tell them Count Goulash sent you. And now, back to the incredibly spooky Professor Porterfield. Oh!
Thank you, Count Goulash. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge, huge fan. What a great guy. What an incredible professional. What a wonderful performer. Thank you, Count Goulash. We're so happy to have you here again. It makes my day. Well, friends, we've come to pretty much the last of it. I'd like to sit here and continue to talk to you about licorice and prayer papers and play you some more tunes and tell you a little bit more what I think about those foolish jackasses with their "the hoodoo has no disclaimer" bullshit. But I can't. I gotta go. I mean, this is it. This is the end.
Ah, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
I leave Fort Worth, Texas, and go to Texarkana, and double back to Fort Worth. I'm on down to Dallas, Tin Cow, Katie, coming through the territory in Kansas City, and Kansas City, St. Louis, and St. Louis, Chicago. I'm on my way to doing well. Change cars on the TP, leaving Fort Worth, Texas, going to Dallas, hotel, Grand Sling, Silver Lake, Mineola, Tyler, Texas cattle and double back to Fort Worth. Change cars on the Katy, leaving Dallas, Texas. I've been through Rockwall and on Greenville, Sealess, Denison, South McAllister, Territory, Muskoka, Wagner, Austin, Kansas, Kansas City, Sedalia. Then I changed cars and jumped in St. Louis. I'm on Springfield, I'm on my way to Chicago. Giving a high ball to pass on.